Okay, I want to thank today's sponsor, Ira Schwartz, who's sponsoring in honor of his father's Yahrzeit, Meir Yechiel Michal Ben Hillel Eliyahu. The Shama should have an aliyah through all of the Divrei Torah, through the afternoon call this week, and as always, the Frohlo Financial Group for their generosity and support. We are on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, towards the bottom of Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. We took a break last week as we went through some Inyani Purim. I hope everybody was Mekayim Ad Lo Yada, according to one Shita or another. You either drank and you took a shluf, you drank a little bit more than usual, you drank Keshechruso Shalot, because you see yourself on the level of Rav Yisrael Salanter, or whichever level, Magen Avram, you couldn't do the Gematria, whichever fulfillment of Adel Oyada, hope you had a wonderful Purim. We're on Lamed Amud Aleph, Meseches Kedushin, first Perek Ha'isha Niknes, and we are towards the bottom, where the Gemara says, Lefichach Nikru Rishonim Sofrim. We are three medium lines. The Amud is made up of short lines, fat lines, and medium lines. That's how Rav Shechter used to describe it. Short lines, fat lines, and medium lines. We are in the third medium line, the last two words. Lefichach nikru rishonim sofrim. Lefichach, at the beginning of a sentence, sounds like what? Therefore sounds like, it's not an independent new statement, but rather it sounds like, it's a continuation of what came before. So what is the statement? Lefichach, therefore, the chachamim of earlier generations were called sofrim. What are sofrim? Shayu sofrim kol osio shebetorah. They were called sofrim, not the way we think of a sofer as a scribe, but the word sofer from lispor to count. They were great counters, the count. They were the great counters. Now, what is this lefichach going on? Is this something new? Is this a continuation? So look at Rashi. Lefichach nikru, zogt Rashi, mil sabah peinavshehi. This is an independent statement. It's funny to call it lefichach, but this is a brand new statement, having nothing to do with what came before. What came before? What came before was vishinantam levanacha, don't read it vishinantam, vishilashtam. And we spent several weeks on liola mishali shadam, how we divide our time between mikra, mishnah, and talmud. Lefichach nikru rishonim sofrim. Says Rashi, new comment. Nothing to do with what came earlier. It's a new comment altogether. However, the Tosfos read, Tosfos says no, the Gemara is a continuation of what came before. A moment ago we just said you have to divide your time equally in thirds. You have to learn Mikra, learn Mishnah, learn Gemara. One of the things you have to learn is Mikra. Since they spent time on Mikra, they were learning Chumash or Tanakh. Therefore, they were Sofrim. They were counting the Psukim. They knew what was contained therein, what was in Tanakh. The Meiri also says, Lefichach indicates that this is a continuation of what came before. And he says, this is part of calculating how to divide your learning. Since the Gemara's statement immediately a moment ago was, Yishalish Adam, divide your learning proportionally, well, you have to know. Before Meir Shapira came up with the Daf Yomi, you got to calculate how many Dapim and Shas, how much do you have to learn, what's your schedule, how are you going to finish it. Nach Yomi, Mishnah Yomi, Halacha Yomi, Mishnah Brura Yomi, Daf Yomi, Tanya Yomi, Chayodam Yomi, Kafachayim Yomi, whatever you're going to learn, in order to calculate the Yomi of it, you got to know how much is in it. So therefore the Meiri says, since we just said, Yishalish Adam, so lefichach, they were called sofrim because they knew how to count. Jews were always good accountants, even Chazal. Good. Zog the Gemara weiter. Shayu Omrim, they knew that vav di gachon, the vav in the middle of the word gachon, is chetzion shel osios shel sefer Torah. It represents the chetzion. Translate the word chetzion. So we would have translated, it's the middle letter. So are there an odd number of letters and it's the middle letter with an even number on either side? Or is the Torah made up of an even number of letters and chetzion means it's the half? In which case, you have to ask which. So we'll get to that in a second. So gachon, the vav in the middle of gachon is half of the letters. Darush, darash, a pasuk in Vayikra, chetzion, shel tevos. That is the half or the middle of the words. Darosh Darash is two words. Two words. What? Okay, so that assumes that there are an even number of words in the Torah. So Darosh is the last of the first half, and Darash is the first of the second half. And when we say middle,
which implies that the Vav, that
Gachon, is also
is smack in the middle, because it doesn't say Darash.
Okay. Interesting. Okay, good. Just as an aside, Darosh Darash. I have a cousin who's a rabbi, and he wrote a weekly, Rabbi J. Stein. And he once, you remember when he wrote on this? He said, Darosh Darash, what the Gemara means to tell you, it's the middle, it means that at the core of this Torah is to be a Doresh. At the center, the middle words of the whole Torah are Darosh Darash. At the core, at the center of Torah is to be a Doresh. What's a Doresh? To be somebody who's curious, who's inquisitive, who's searching, who's seeking, who's learning. You're never satisfied, you're never complacent. I gave a drasha a few weeks ago, according to the Sichas Mutzer, Rechaim Shmulevitz, being a mevakesh. I said the story of when Rechaim Shmulevitz went to see his uncle's yeshiva in the Vardak, and his uncle's, this one's the best masmid, this one's the best, everyone had their other skill, but who was the best boy in the yeshiva? The one in the corner who was the biggest mevakesh. And who was that boy in the corner? Turned out to be the stipler gon. To be a mevakesh is to be a doresh, is to have an appetite for learning, to never be satiated. So the middle words of the whole Torah are Darosh Darash, and you see the center of Torah is to be a learner, to be a seeker. Chetzion Shel Tevos. Next, V'his Galach, also in Vayikra, is Shel Psukim. It's the half or the middle of the Psukim. Yichar Semena Chazir Miya'ar, Ayin Diya'ar, Chetzion Shel Tehillim. Now we switch from Torah to Tehillim. The ayin in Ya'ar is the middle of Tehillim. B'hu rachum yechaper avon, chetzio de psukim. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'hu rachum yechaper avon, Hashem is forgiving, chetzio de psukim. If you apply my cousin's vort from the Torah about Darosh Darash, and you apply that here to Tehillim, then that means that at the center of Tehillim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's rachum yechaper avon. That the middle pasuk of all of Tehillim, if you apply the same word, Darosh Darash represents the core of Torah is to be a Doresh, then what's the core of Tehillim? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is forgiven. V'hu rachum, that he's kind, yechaper avon, and that he's willing to atone, he's willing to forgive our sins. The Gemara did not ask, by the way, as the Shita Lano Delami points out, quoted on the bottom of the Masifta, that the Shita Lano Delami is one of the Rishonim on Kedushin, a Rishon whose authorship we don't know. So the Gemara asked her when it came to the Torah, it told us the letters, told us the words, and it told us the psukim. With Tehillim, it only told us the center pasuk. Char semena chazer miyar ayin diyar chetzen shel of the psukim of the sorry the letters. I'm sorry, it told us the letters and told us the psukim. Didn't tell us the words. Chetzen shel osios it told us. And it told us the halfway point of the psukim. What happened to the words? Told us halfway of the letters and the halfway of the psukim. It didn't tell us the words. So those who were here last year for the kolah will appreciate this because we saw this in psachim, in Arve Psachim, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amar Aleph together. And the Shita Lano Delami suggests, if you remember, the Gemara there had a suffix, whether you spelled the word haleluka, hallelujah, is that considered one word or two words? Hallelujah or hallelujah? Is it one word or two words? You remember that towards the end of Arvei Psachim, we had that. So therefore, since you have that doubt of the correct way to count, therefore the Gemara didn't even try to offer a suggestion of what the halfway point of the words are, because we have an inexact, we have a doubt about how exactly to calculate the words. So the letters in the Psukim we were confident in, but the words we omit for that reason. Weiter, Boy Rav Yosef. Vav de Gachon mehai gisa or mehai gisa. So this comes back to what I was alluding to before. The Vav of Gachon, which we said is in the middle, is it counted with the half, the first half? Is it the last letter of the first half or the first letter of the second half? Which again presumes that it's not the exact middle. It's not an odd number of letters. How'd the Gemara know that? Why did Rav Yosef not suspect that Vav of Gachon might be Bidiyuk, punk, in the middle? How did he know it's either the end of the first half or the beginning of the second half? Because he knew that there was an even number of letters in the Torah. There was a Mesorah of even number of letters.
So why didn't he give us like darash darash, the two middle letters?
What?
Why didn't he give us the two middle letters like gave us the two middle words?
Oh, it's a good question, and then we would have known. Yeah, it's a good question. If you look, you'll skip a little bit here, but go to page 3 of the handout. The Sefer HaMakneh, Rav Pinchas Horovitz, also the author of the Hafla. So the Makneh is the Sefer on Kedushin, the Hafla is Sefer on Kedushin. So he writes, I didn't underline it, on the right-hand column, Vav de Gachon Mehagisa Mehagisa, Mashma de Pshitale de Osios Hein Mutamin. Like Tu'umim. What are Tu'umim? Twins. So he knew that the letters of the Torah came in pairs. They were twins, meaning there was an even number. So the Makneh says, how did Rav Yosef know to ask, is the Vav of Gachon the end of the first half or the beginning of the second half? How did he know, bless you, that it wasn't the actual middle? Because if there were a middle, if it was an odd number of letters, then the Gemara would have asked, and the Gemara would have called it Emtziusim. The fact that it didn't call it Emtziusim, but it said Chetzion, meant that it is a even number, so clearly it's tacked on to either the first half or the second half, but we don't know which.
So in Sefer Torah, Vav is Lachamar.
What?
The Vav, Gachon.
Yeah.
In Lach.
Right. So it's the middle. The question if it's the middle because it's... Well, when you have an even number of letters, how do you calculate the middle?
So I'm saying so.
The great existential question.
We should have two letters that are enlarged.
So we said we have Darosh, Darash. You're right. Why is it inconsistent between the letters and the... I didn't see anyone ask, but you also have the Masifta, so you have no excuse. You have to go to the back. You have to go to the back and take a look and see, especially you sponsored today. You got to see if anybody... look in the back and check if anybody asked that question.
It's
a good question.
How does it say Chetzin for all of them? It doesn't change the language or anything.
Right.
He doesn't say the word Chetzin, but he says that it's continuing that.
Right, okay. And Echanami, it's a good question.
That's why it's a big role.
No, it is, but the fact is when...
You have left it two books.
Oh.
One hand.
Okay. All right, so says the Gemara. What are you asking this? Is Vav de Gachon mehaigisa mehaigisa? So Amar Lai, Abai says, Nesi Sefer Torah v'nimnu. Bring a Torah, let's count. And we'll know whether the Vav is the end of the first. Like, what are you asking is if there's a Masorah. It's empirical. Just go get a Sefer Torah.
Count.
You need a lot of fingers to count. But count. Milo Amar Rabba Baruchana. V'lo zazu mishamat sheviyo Sefer Torah umana'um. We had a Maisa with Rabba Baruchana, a similar circumstance where there was a question, and they were unsure, and there was a debate. And so we said, no, bring a Sefer Torah and count. Bring a Sefer Torah and count. So here too, if you're not sure whether the Vav of the Gachon is the end of the first half, the beginning of the second half, get a Torah and count. So says the Gemara, Amalei, Rav Yosef answered, Inu, the Chachamim of the earlier generations, Beki b'chaseres v'yaseres, Anan lo bekiin. They were experts. What are chaseres and yaseres? They're whether you have a Vav and a Yud. There are words that can be written Malei, with the Vav or the Yud, or they can be written Chaser. Aaron. My name is Ephraim Chaim ben Moshe Aaron. When I sign on a Ksuba, or in my own Ksuba, or if I sign on a Shtar for Gerus, or whatever the case is, a Get. Do I write my father's name, Aaron, with a Vav or without a Vav? There's different menhagim. When I'm on Sada Kedushin, I ask the aid to practice. Many people rarely, even if you call to the Torah by your name, you very rarely sign your Hebrew name. So we take for granted, I guess, if you're a Masada Kedushin or you're involved in Beis Din, that you know how to write your name. But even very wonderfully Erlich people don't necessarily... So it could be their first time writing their name. I always make them write it out first. Because I've even had the other experience. I say, oh, you're an Eid Ksuva, you're going to sign here. The person starts signing their English name, Ephraim Goldberg. Like signing a check. Cursive letters are fine. Apparently Rav Ovadia used to sign a Ksuba, Ovadia Yosef. In Hebrew, Ovadia Yosef. So again, what's exactly the loch? A get, you're going to be, I think, even more machmer than a ksuba, Edei Chasima, Edei Mesira. Okay, there's a lot to talk about here. But assuming that we're trying to get it right, So then the person will say, you know, I'm not even sure exactly how to write it. I just know how I'm called to the Torah. What was your father's name? Aaron. Did he write it with a vav or without a vav? Aleph, hey, resh, everybody writes. Nun sofis, everybody writes. Is there a vav in Aaron? What's his minute? Does he write a vav? What's his minute? Is there a vav in Aaron or not a vav in Aaron? So that's an example of chaseros v'yaseros. Sometimes you can write full with the yud or the vav or malay, or it could be chaser or it could be without. So earlier generations were bekiyim, anan lo bekiyim. So getting a sefer Torah is not going to help because you're going to count to our Torah, but our Torah, we're not experts anymore to preserve the yud and the vav, and to know that we got it right, and so on. And so therefore, since we're not experts, it's not going to help to count. So how do we know? So now it's just a mesorah where the vav is. I guess you could work backwards. If you know that it's the middle.
So the implication here is that at that time, they hadn't yet settled on the... I mean, this halakha was be seen, right? So I mean, they didn't know whether they had an authentic Sefer Torah, because if you count the letters, you count the letters. Not,
right.
If you bring out a Sefer Torah and you count, you've counted them. Some things are Mole, some things are Kosher, but that's the way it's written.
Right. Biyom Kalos Moshe. It's Kalos with a Vav, without a Vav.
We always have to write a Sefer Torah from another Sefer Torah.
Correct. So we always do, and the original Sefer Torah was preserved in the Aron itself. So this is interesting. There's an article I printed out by Rav Amnon Bazak of Yeshivat Har Etzion. Fundamental issues in study of Tanakh. The topic of this year was Nusach HaMikra, accuracy of the biblical text. And he goes through exactly this question. Chaseros Yiseros are halacha Moshe Misinai. Malay Chaser is halacha Moshe Misinai. So our Torah. In other words, you go through the Dead Sea Scrolls, you go through the Cairo Geniza, you go through, are our Torahs the same or are they different? A Sephardi Torah and Ashkenazi Torah, is it just the script? Is it just the style of Safras? Or is there more?
There's actually one letter that's different than Moshe Misinai.
Oh, so I'll tell you. So he goes through this issue over here. So he says the following. I hate to disappoint everybody. But he says, he quotes our Gemara here, Kedushin, the Amoraim, state explicitly, they're not experts in the exact text of the Tanakh. Our Gemara we just read, Vav of Gachon, the middle letters, and so on. In other words, the early Sofrim, he writes, possessed an extremely accurate version of the text, and they had a tradition as to the middle letter word and verse of the Torah. In the continuation of the Gemara, Rav Yosef raises a question. Assuming the number of words in the Torah is an even number, such that there's no exact middle letter, does the Vav represent the last letter of the first half or the first letter of the second? Gemara proposes counting, but then rejects the idea. They were experts on the traditional plain and defective spellings, but we are not. From these discussions, it would appear that already by the period of the Amoraim, there were questions concerning textual variants involving plain and defective spellings, and even the division of verses. Obviously, this matter has significant halachic ramifications, which are discussed by the commentaries and authorities throughout the generations. The Me'iri, in his commentary on our Gemara here, Kedushin, the Me'iri concludes as follows. I'm reading to you the Me'iri from the footnote, so it's in the English. The guidelines that we've been given by the Sofrim that we rely on for the purposes of writing a Torah are based on the most precise texts in our possession, but is not to say that we have an absolute clarity on the matter. And on account of this, I feel it is wise to be lenient and not invalidate a Sefer Torah on account of this missing or additional letter. This could only apply to experts. The Ramah rules similarly that the law concerning a Sefer Torah in which a mistake has been found, it's returned to the Aron Kodesh, a different Torah has been taken out, applies when a definite mistake has been found. But one does not take out another Torah merely on account of Chaseros Yerseros, since our Torah scrolls are not so accurate, we can be sure that the second one will be better than the first. So the Ramah paskins that our not being Bekiyan and Chaseros and Yeseros, the Ramah says, has Alachat Nafkamina. If the Torah is missing or has a problem, lack of Mukaf Gvil, let's say, the ink is running from one letter into another, I don't know if you'd apply it to Mukaf Gvil because that's its own separate psul. But if the letter itself was invalid and it's a Yud or a Vav, says the Ramah, for that you don't take out a new Torah, because who says the next Torah is going to be better than this Torah? Because we are not Anala Bekiyan and Chaseros Viseros.
That's good for a missing letter or extra letter, but a damaged letter. Like,
correct. That's what I'm saying. If it's lacks Mukav Gvil,
or
first of all.
It's the wrong Tzura or something.
Yeah. Shagasari writes that on the basis of the Gemara's discussion, we can conclude that in our times there's no possibility of writing a kosher Sefer Torah, and therefore the commandment of writing a Sefer Torah does not apply in our times. the Shagas Aryeh holds. In other words, because Anol Bekiyam Chaseros V'Yaseros, and you can't be confident that when you write a Torah, it really fulfills the mitzvah, the last mitzvah in the Torah, 613th mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, and the Shagas Aryeh concludes, quote, because even in the times of the Amoraim, they were not expert. And after all, Sefer Torah that lacks even a single letter or has an extra letter is invalid, therefore we're unable to observe this commandment. The Chassam Sofer uses the same reasoning to explain why we don't say a bracha over writing a Torah. It's a 613th mitzvah. Why don't we just write a birchas mitzvah? Okay, so it takes a Sofer more than one sitting to write the Torah. So you'll argue, when does he recite the bracha? The beginning, at the end, each time he sits down, you could have that debate. The Maisa mitzvah, the Kiyama mitzvah. We had this discussion about Svira Somer last year, if you recall. You know, do you make the bracha every night implies it's each its own? It's a whole separate discussion. But the Chassam Sofer says there's a mitzvah, 613 mitzvahs, Ksiva Sefer Torah. Why doesn't the Sofer or the owner of the Torah make a birchas mitzvah? Chassam Sofer, because of our Gemara. Anon lebekiyam achaseros v'yaseros, and therefore it might be a bracha levatala. How could you make a bracha? Do you say Shechianah when you get the Torah? So our custom is that you say Shechianah on a new garment or a new fruit and have in mind the Torah as well. But if you didn't have those other things, it wouldn't warrant its own Shechianah. So you see that the Ramah and then the Shagas Aryeh and the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer was answering a real Shaila. Shagas Aryeh doesn't answer real Shailas. Shagas Aryeh asked himself questions in order to be able to articulate his answers. They were not real Shailas admitted to. But the Shagas Aryeh, the Chassam Sofer both come to the same conclusion that because we are not experts in Chaseros and Yaseros, therefore, you don't make a bracha, and therefore, there may not be a mitzvah in our time. But because I guess it's not ma'akev in the fulfillment of Kriyas HaTorah. Maybe you're yotze Kriyas HaTorah even from a Torah which is not mala or chaser, which can that sounds like a paradox. How could you be yotze Kriyas HaTorah with certainty if it's not a kosher sefer Torah with certainty? Yeah. We do the best with what we have. But why am I sharing this with you? Because he has an interesting footnote here of Bazak, and he says the following, which is why I'm sharing it. Our Gemara just calculated that the Vav of Gachon is the Chetzion of the Osios and the Psukim v'chule. He quotes here, the specifications are quite far removed from the middles as we know them today. The middle letter in our Sefer Torah is the letter Aleph in the word Hu, almost 5,000 letters away from the letter in the Sugya, the Vav of Gachon. The midpoint in our Sefer Torah in terms of words is between the words El Yesod, about 1,000 words away from the location cited in the Sugya. The middle verse of the Torah as we know it, about 60 verses away from the one cited in the Sugya. The Minchas Shai notes that this considerable discrepancy, noting first the possibility that, quote, we might say that we are not experts in the verses, but goes on to acknowledge, in my mind, it's not reconciled with this since the discrepancy is even greater. Elio, the Tishbi will bring the solution. So how could it be? Something went wrong here. 500 away, 1,000 away. We're not off by one or two, adding up all the Vavs and Yuds. We're off, far off. So I found entire other articles that deal with this question. As you can imagine, there's scholarship. They get excited. I personally don't get so excited. But there's people who actually get really excited about this kind of stuff. People who got excited about Pi Day yesterday. I also don't get excited about that. But there's people who get excited about this. And there's all kinds of Rishonim and Achronim who discuss this issue, the discrepancy between what the Torah identifies as the middle and what we have. Again, far, far removed. So some Achronim suggest that, you know, even our Gemara did not mean it literally. The Gemara meant it symbolically. For the drush, as we said, Darosh Darash is the center of Torah learning. V'hu Rachum is Tehillim. So some suggest that it doesn't mean to be taking it literally. It meant symbolically. Literally, our count is right. Symbolically, they were communicating a message. But other Achronim don't like that. Because they say, how could that be? The Gemara would intentionally be so far off, that makes no sense. But anyway, I'm not getting into it because it doesn't excite me. If it excites you, Google it and you'll find these fascinating articles on the subject. Yes?
What did they mention?
Just as a question, if you misspell your name on a ksuba, for example,
yeah,
or a get, does it invalidate?
It depends how you misspell it.
Let me give you an example. For example, today modern Hebrew spells the name David with a yud.
Right.
Well, David is a Stavad Yud in a certain place.
And only one place. That's correct.
So listen, so it's complicated because there's a Gemara that says, I forgot which Amora used to sign his name with the symbol of an eye. Of a fish, symbol of a fish.
Right,
with a sail, with a symbol of a fish. So if you can fulfill, if there's a tvius eye and you recognize, you can be mekayim the chasima through the symbol of a sail and a fish. So if you wrote David with a yud, it's complicated. I was actually in Masada Kedushin at a wedding, and the person who was signing, I violated my own rule, and I did not have them write it out first and then copy it so that I could confirm they knew. And the person got a little confused because, again, it's not often that we write it this way. So even when you were in grammar school and you wrote your name on your Hebrew homework, you didn't write Ben so-and-so. You know, you wrote Ephraim Goldberg, not Ephraim Chaim and Moshe Aaron. So he wrote his first name and then Ben, as if he was going to write his father's name. Then he remembered he forgot to write his middle name, so he crossed out Ben, wrote his middle name, then wrote Ben and his father's name. So the person, the rabbi who was reading the ksuba at the wedding, got all exercised over it. And I'm not saying he was right or wrong. He's much more bigger Talmud Chacham than I am, and much bigger Talmud Chacham than I am, more righteous than I am. He was very bothered by it. So I tried to get hold of my rabbi. I couldn't get him. He simultaneously was calling his rav, and his rav thought it was a major problem. You have to cross out the whole signature, write another signature underneath it. It was an artistic ksuba. So I wrote a shaila to Rav Asher Weiss. I haven't heard back yet. Because I thought you could make the argument that had he crossed out one of the Iker names, it's a bigger problem than crossing out Ben. Whatever the reason, I thought you can make that argument. I wrote him a shaila, I haven't heard back yet. But yeah, exactly what the rules are on a ksuba, the signature, you know, again, l'chatchila, b'diyeved, does it matter if the ksuba, you're going to ruin the artistic ksuba? These are all interesting questions. I had a ksuba recently. The Chassan and Kala commissioned an artist to make a beautiful ksuba, which, by the way, there's a big machlokas. You know, this Rav also told me, it's good if it's no good, the artistic ksuba, because you shouldn't really hang a ksuba on the wall anyway. It's not sanua, it should be in a drawer somewhere. I said, okay, mine's hanging on my wall in my house. So I think, and I come from a tradition, that there's no more beautiful artwork in a home than the commitment of a husband to his wife. The ksuba does not use graphic language. If it did, nobody would understand what it says anyway. And what is a ksuba? It says, I'm going to take care of you and provide for you. And it's not the most beautiful thing to have hanging on a wall? Okay, but whatever. Some have the minhag, you put it in the drawer. So anyway, they commissioned an artist to make a magnificent ksuba. And at the time, the wedding was scheduled to be in Palm Beach. And then I woke up in the middle of the night before the wedding when I realized that they had switched the wedding to be in Boca, but nobody had told the artist. And the ksuba that was sitting in a tube somewhere said,
Palm Beach.
Palm Beach. Laminyan Shana Monukan, Palm Beach, Florida. So I called Rabbi Willig, and I said, Rabbi Willig, Boca's in Palm Beach County. What can we do here? So he had me write in, you know, a little chuchik, a little carrot, whatever they call that, carrot? And write in county. And normally when you write in something or you cross out something, you have to make a note on the bottom that you did it, and given the artistic ksuba. Anyway, it's good to have certain people on your speed dial. You know, you need some broad shoulders to answer.
What about the name Lane?
A get is much more strict, much more stringent. So for example, on a ksuba, we just use the person's Hebrew name. But in a get, you'd use the person, sometimes in a get, demiskeri, 17 times. Hamachuna, demiskeri. Yeah, you know, you could use 7 lines of just the person's name. Yeah, Ben, you know, he's Ben, Chaim, and Mechuna Charles, Demiskeri Chuck, Demiskeri Chucky, Demiskeri, you know, because the get, you got to get the names right. I don't know how we got onto all of this, but back to our Gemara.
Do you ever have any problem with the name
Lane? Well, let's get back to our Gemara, yeah.
Quick question. How come it didn't list the number of letters? Since he counted it, what did he get? The psukim we can do from, you know, the
why don't we tell the Masorah of what the number is?
Right. Why didn't he write it? They already counted. We should have told us.
But we didn't say the number of words or the number of psukim either.
No words, I said. Psukim, I don't need it. I can look at the Chumash and add them up.
You could count the letters also and add them up.
No, but I don't have to count them.
You have to count the Maman of Shach. You either have to count the letters,
it's
consistent.
No. It doesn't tell you the number of letters at the end of
it. It doesn't tell you the letter of words or the letter of Sukkim either. Anyway, if anyone wants to see Rav Amnon Bazak, interesting article, and there's many more on this subject.
Quick thing, just it's interesting that Rustami did have an article that said that Ayin is the middle of the big and small letters, and the Darash in the middle of the double words.
Uh-huh.
Omar Yoimar, Dabe Dabar.
Interesting. Okay. Look at Tosos Nikru Sofrim. Tosfos understands why they were called Sofrim for a different reason. We said Nikru Sofrim because they were counting what Phil wanted them to do the hard work for him. Count the letters, count the words, count the psukim. Says Tosfos, Peish Bekuntras, Kedichsiv, Umishmachos Sofrim, Yoshve, Yavitz, Virushami, Mefarish, Sha'asu Kola Tarakula, Misparos, Kigon Avos Malachos, Arbaim Chasar Achas, Arba Avos Nazikin, Ikiyotzubahem. Why are they called Sofrim? Because the mnemonic they used in order to remember is everything is given to us in numbers. There are Dalet Shomrim, there are Dalet Avos Nezikin, there are 39 categories of Malacha. Chazal didn't just list the things, they like to add them up and give you the number. And that's why they're called the Sofrim, because they use the mnemonic of a number in order to remember how many there, in order to remember how many there were. So that's Tosos' alternative understanding of why they were called Sofrim. Weiter. Boy Rav Yosef, v'hiskalach mehaygisa mehaygisa. So just like we asked the Vav of Gachon, which side? Similarly, v'hiskalach, which is the middle of the psukim, is at the end of the first half or the first pasuk of the second half. Amalei abay psukim yoleitum limnu. You can count the psukim. In other words, chaseros and yiseros means you can't count the letters, but the psukim you could still count. So as the Gemara, no psukim nami lo bekinin. When Rav Acha Barada went from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amar Bamar Rava, he quoted that they used to say in Eretz Yisrael, Paske lelahai krolat lasa psuke. They would divide one pasuk into three. Which pasuk? Vayomar Hashem Moshe, hine anochi bo elecha be'av he'anan. It's one pasuk. Bavur Yishma Am, I'm reading now, continuation, it's not in your Gemara. Bavur Yishma Am bedabri imach v'gam b'chay aminu le'olam is a second pasuk. Vayaged Moshe is divrei amel Hashem is a third pasuk. So, we're not sure how exactly to divide those three psukim. Where exactly to put the end, the sof pasuk. We don't know the number exactly. So, because we don't know the number exactly, not clear to us exactly how to divide, therefore you can't count the psukim either. In other words, it's similar to Anam Bikin, Lo Bikinim, the Chaseros V'Yeseros. Certain traditions we've lost. They're inexact. So, therefore, now it's not as much as an afkamina, because if you look in a chumash, there is no sof pasuk. There's no snachta. There's no trup. There's no... The Torah rather is just text. So that's much less consequential than the chaseros v'yiseros. But for the purpose of this question of being able to count it up to know where it is, that we can't do today.
Isn't
that
the answer to the huge discrepancy that we talked about before?
Not necessarily. That would only answer the discrepancy about psukim, but it would not
letters.
It would not letters. And also that wouldn't justify being off by 500 and 1,000. There's an enormous amount to be off. Right. Okay. Weiter. Tana Rabbanan. Chameshas alafim mushva meos ushmana mushmana psukim av psukim sefer Torah. So they counted. This is what you're talking about, Phil? They counted the psukim. How many psukim were there? 5,888. Yasser alaf Tehillim shmona. Tehillim has another eight in addition to that. Chasam menu divrei hayamim shmona. And divrei hayamim has eight less than that.
By the way, Sincino, not Sincino, I'm talking about art school, says 5,845 verses.
Did I just translate?
That's not by Dougie Feinstein.
But say that again?
At the very end of, we know he counts all the psukim in each portion. Then they add them all up, and he says here, there are a total of 5,845 verses.
Oh, you're looking at the end of the art scroll stone chumash, not an art scroll gemara.
Yeah.
Okay, because I thought, I'm trying to look at these, I'm translating the words wrong? Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah.
5,845, and corresponding to the mnemonic achama, because 5 stands for 5,000, 8 stands for achama, and the total is like the sun.
So okay, interesting. Right, he writes a lot about this. He gets excited about this. Right. He and you get very excited about these kinds of things. That's correct. It's gematria, I get. Yeah. What? Correct. There's different girsos.
Right. And the Baye and all these other guys who are writing
Yeshua. Correct. So they were going with a different girsa. The Otzar Gaonim apparently quotes Rav Hai Gaon, the Ramah, the Maharit, the Rashash, all have different girsas exactly what the Gemara's conclusion of what number it should be. But the Rishonim, as I alluded to and quoted from Rav Amnon Bezak, the Rishonim on our Gemara say that, in other words, our Gemara said 5,888. What number did you have?
45.
So 40 off. Right? 40 off. But we're 1,000 off. We're 1,000 off. So how can we be... Now, 40 off is reasonable. 1,000 off is a lot more. And that's what the Rishonim here all struggle with. All right, Viter. By the way, why do we compare the Sefer Torah to Tehillim and Divrei Hayamim? Why not compare it to Yoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Avshalom? Like, why Dafka Divrei Hayamim and why Dafka Tehillim? Apparently, the Maharal speaks about this. I'm not sure what his answer is. Tana Rabbanim. Right, so Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim.
Which is Navi?
But why, if you're going to choose one?
Devayam is Ksuvim.
They were the closest in number.
Devayam is the last Sefer, yes, the last Sefer Ksuvim. So why they chose these specifically? Clearly there's some parallel. Chumash Tehillim, Devayam. So that's it, so it was just cute, they're closest, eight more, eight less. Maral says there's something deeper here, but you can look it up. It's the Chidush HaGadosh. I didn't get a chance to look it up. Torah Rabbanan, Vishinantam, Shiudivrei Torah Mechudadin Beficha. So the fact that we say in Dvarim, Vishinantam Levanecha, our attitude towards Torah is Vishinantam. So what does Vishinantam mean? Shiudivrei Torah Mechudadin. What does Mechudadin mean? Sharp. Shem Yisha Lecha Adam Davar Al Tegamgeim V'tomar Lo. If somebody asks you a question, don't be megamgeim. What is megamgeim? Stutter, stumble. What's a word that sounds like it is an onomatopoeia?
Yeah.
Is that right? So that's what gam vagam 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 vagam. Tegamgeim. Gam vagam vagam vagam. Don't stumble. You know. Gam vagam. Ela emor lo miyad. You should be so clear in your Torah knowledge, so sharp in your Torah learning that someone asks you, you're able to answer them and not be megamgeim. Shenamar, as the pasuk in Mishlei says, Emor lachachma achosi at vaomer, and it says, right. In other words, be a baki in halacha, be so clear that halacha is like your sister. That halacha is as clear as you are that your sister is also to you. Emor lachachma achosi at, as clear as you are that your sister is also to you. That's how much you should know chachma. Vaomer. Pasuk also in Mishlei says, tie them on your finger, write them on the tablet of your heart. So Divrei Torah should be so clear in your mouth, you should be so aware, so mindful, so familiar, like it's tied on your finger, like it's engraved on your heart. Like an arrow in the hand of the mighty, so too the Talmidim. So too the children. Va'omer, chitzei gibor shenunim, the arrow of the warrior sharp. Omer chitzecha shenunim amim tachtecha yiplu. Va'omer ashra gever shemile es ashpaso mehem, lo yevoshe ki yidabrus oivim b'sha'ar. Fortunate is the rav who fills his ashpa. What is ashpa?
Quiver.
So modern Hebrew, it's garbage. Here, unclear exactly what it means. We'll see in a second. But what the Gemara means to say is that he fills his whatever with Talmidim who are sharp as arrows. That you fill the pouch where you keep your arrows. Fortunate is the one who has a pouch filled with a quiver as a pouch.
Yeah, I think
of fortunate is the I haven't been to an archery recently. Fortunate is the archer whose quiver is filled with sharp arrows. Fortunate is the Rav whose class is filled with sharp Talmidim. All of these are psukim that support the idea that a person should be so clear and sharp in their learning. Mai es oivim bashar. Why are those who learn Torah described as oivim? Oivim are enemies. Chalila, why would you call those who learn Torah enemies? Amar b'chia bar Abba, afilu ha'avu b'no, ha'rav v'talmidu, she'oskim b'torah b'shar echad. Even a father and son, a Rebbe and a Talmud, who are learning Torah together. Nasan oivim zeze, they become enemies. What does that mean? In machamta shel Torah. Chazal of a lashon of milchamta shel Torah, the idea that Torah, in order to increase knowledge, in order to plumb the depths and arrive at the truth, you have to have this friction. You have to challenge, you have to oppose, you have to present the hypothesis and challenge the hypothesis and test, and it becomes a milchamta shel Torah. So when you're learning, you're oivim. When you're learning, you're enemies. Contrast for a moment the atmosphere of a Beis Medrash with the atmosphere of a library. Go to a Beis Medrash. When I've recently taken trips there to Eretz Yisrael with my chavrusa, we go to learn in the Beis Medrash. I'm like, we have to go to a side room. I can't hear, I can't think. It's been so learned since so long since I was in a Beis Medrash. Everyone's screaming, you're yelling, that's the stupidest svar I ever heard. What are you, a moron? That's wrong, that doesn't work with the Gemara over here. Clearly, Tosfos doesn't mean that. And I'm just saying what my chavrusa says to me. So it's milchamta shel Torah. But as soon as you're done learning, ain't a zazim mishamat shenasim, all of them says that your best friends, shenemar es vahev bisufa. In the Sefer Melchamas Hashem, it'll say the miracles of Yamsuf. Al tikre bisufa, meaning Yamsuf, ela bisufa. At the end of the Melchama of learning, you go back to being best friends. Rav Shechta said in Shir, he once read a book of somebody had written who the was on the train with the Mir Yeshiva to Shanghai. And he described a native of Shanghai, not a Jew, who said he didn't understand what was happening. He's on this massive train ride, all of these students, and they had these very large volumes, these big books, and when they opened the books, they were screaming at each other. They were the worst, they were terrible to each other. They were the worst enemies. And when they closed the books, they became best friends. And he wrote in this memoir that this experience, that he was on a train with a group of rabbinical students, and something about this big book, that when you opened the big book, you yelled at each other, and when you closed the big book, you were best friends. Rav Shechta said, that's exactly the Gemara. Oivim zezeh, but ein azazim isham achinasim oavim zezeh. In fact, some suggest, I think we mentioned this when we went through the issue of women's learning, that notion about women not being involved in advanced learning is that the Melchamta Shel Torah does not bring out the feminine, compassionate, courteous, kind, sensitive side. In other words, two men in a chavrusa, one could yell at the other that Svara is ridiculous, clearly it's not true, it contradicts this other thing, and that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. And the other one says, okay, let's continue learning, and they're best friends, then they go play ball. But with two women, that wouldn't exactly, the Melchamta Shel Torah. So if you don't have the I'm not saying I endorse this, but there is some logic to it. If the relationship doesn't lend itself to being able to offer a critique of what the other is saying, you'll arrive at inaccurate conclusions. What preserves arriving at the Amita Shel Torah is the rigorous atmosphere of the Beis Medrash. The rigorous atmosphere of the Beis Medrash ensures that truth will be arrived to, because no half-baked svara can get through. But if people don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, and so someone said something, it's probably not exactly true, but nobody wanted to say anything because it might hurt their feelings, then distortions could arise. It might be a problem. That's what some suggest. Go back to this pasuk, kechitzim biyad gibor. One of the examples we said about divrei Torah should be mechudadim. It should be sharp in our mouths. We quoted the pasuk, kechitzim biyad gibor, like the arrows in the hand of the warrior. Kein b'nei ha'ne'urim. So too with chinuch. So too in the attitude towards our children. Dr. David Pelkovitz, who's our scholar in residence, is coming Shabbos. Loves to quote the Kutzker Rebbe on this pasuk. Kutzker Rebbe says, why do we compare chinuch to an archer with an arrow and his quiver? What's the comparison of all metaphors to use? So says the Kutzker Rebbe, when the archer takes the arrow, what ensures that it will go straight and travel far? The tighter he pulls it towards him, the straighter it will travel, the farther it will travel. The less he pulls it towards him, the thing just plops. So that says the Kutzker Rebbe, that's chinuch. The tighter you pull the child towards you, the tighter you hold on to them, when it's time to let go, they're going to soar, and they're going to go straight. The less tight you hold on to them, they're going to wobble, they're going to wiggle, they're going to go off course, and they're going to drop. They're not going to go very far at all. Kechitzim biyad gibor kein b'nei hane'urim. Let's go back and look at Tosfos. Al tegam game. Learning should be so clear. You should have such clarity and sharpness that you're not megam game. Says Tosfos v'hoda amar be'ilu mitzios the tur b'mirabana mashana b'diburei. I the Gemara b'mitzia daf chav gimel says that talmidei chachamim are allowed to bend the truth b'mesechta. That if you ask a Talmud Chacham, I heard you know all of Baba Basra by heart. Is that true? Even if it's true, they're allowed to say, no, I've never even learned Baba Basra. So how do you shtim? How does that work? On the one hand, the Gemara of Bab Metzia gives license to Talmidei Chachamim to be dishonest, to bend the truth about their learning. On the other hand, here it says, Al Tegam Gem. You got to be clear. So Amar Rabbeinu Tam, Tahainu im Shoalim Oso im Lamarta Mesechta Zu, Al Yizgoya Lomer Shalomda, Klomer Lamarti Harbe. Aval Shoalim Oso Dover Halacha, O Shetrichen Lomab Menu Mesechta, Sarshi Mechudadim Befiv, Shalay Gam Gam Bedover. So the answer is very simple. If the person is just trying to tap into your ego, I heard you finish Shas three times, I heard you know Baba Basra by heart, you're allowed to say, no, I don't know where you heard, that's not true. But if the person says, what's the halacha? That's not the time to say, I'm not really sure. I don't know what's halacha. Then you have to be mechudadin, vishinantim. Then you have to be clear and you have to be sharp. V'lodami lahadamar mar, unlike what it says in Terech Eretz Zuta, lamad lashon chalomar en yodea, shematiz bada v'tochaz, dahinu b'mila da'alma, v'afilu b'divrei Torah l'yomar yodea ani devar l'spire bo, b'kach, elamash yodea yorah v'yilmod l'talmidim. There's a time for humility and to say, I don't know. But when there's a time to ensure the accurate transmission of Torah, that's not a time for humility. That's a time to offer clarity. Okay. Why do you say...
I don't see why it's a contradiction from that Gemara Masechta.
I don't think it's a contradiction. I think Tosfos wanted to set it up so he could give the answer. Yeah. I mean, the answer is so obvious that clearly the question didn't really bother him. Just wanted to say the answer. Mm-hmm. That's how I understand it. Look at Rashi. What do you mean? Emor lechachma achosiat. This pasuk from Mishlei. Emor lechachma achosiat. Zog to Rashi. Shitei baki baki achoscha shasur lach. You should be as clear in all of Torah as you are that your sister is asur to you. Inami misefa dekra umodel lebina tikra shitei yodua lecha. Very interesting. It's interesting that the Ibn Ezra on the pasuk of Lo Sachmod brings the same mashal. The last of the Aseres Adibros is Lo Sachmod. You're not allowed to covet what belongs to your neighbor, what belongs to your friend. It's a big discussion. What does it mean, lo sachmud? The Rambam holds lo sachmud is violated. We did this recently in the daf. If a person forces someone else to sell them, and they pay, the Rambam holds bididami, that lo sachmud is violated even when you pay, but you essentially coerce the other person to sell you something they really wanted to hold on to. You were a nudnik, you drove them crazy till they gave it to you. Even if you paid them, you violate Lo Sachmud. But anyway, the question everybody asks on Lo Sachmud is, you know, you see your neighbor got a beautiful car, don't covet their car. Nobody uses the word covet other than to translate Sachmud. So don't covet your neighbor's car. So everyone asks, how can you command an emotion? You could tell me, don't steal my neighbor's car. You could tell me, don't damage my neighbor's car. How could you tell me, don't be jealous or envious of my neighbor's car? So the Ibn Ezra on Lo Sachmud says, it's very simple. What do you mean? How could you regulate your emotions? You could have the most magnificent sister in the world. Your sister is gorgeous. She's beautiful. She won the beauty contest. She's the most beautiful woman in the entire planet. Are you attracted to her romantically? You know she's your sister. It's not even in the realm of possibility. You may be able to objectively note she's beautiful, but there's no physical attraction to one's own sister. She's simply off limits. Says the Ibn Ezra, Lo Sachmod, train yourself that which is not yours is off limits to you like your sister. See the car like your sister. See this like your sister. So it's interesting, the Gemara is the same. Emor lechachma achosiat. The same way you know your sister's also to you is the clarity you should have about Torah. Maybe that's Ibn Ezra was hinted to because of the pasuk in this pasuk in Mishlei. Let's look at the source sheet for 1 minute. We're going to run out of time. Skip the Radvaz, you can read it on your own. The Radvaz in this Tshuva goes through this issue of Chaseros and Yeseros and our Sifrei Torah and how can we read from them. Interesting Radvaz, you can read it on your own. Page 2 is the Sefer HaMakne. I told you Rav Pinchas Horovitz, the author of the Afla, his Sefer HaKadushin is called the Makne. The bottom left, says Lafichach Nikru Rishonim Sofrim. Laniyas Daiti Nir the Yesh Lafarsh Bezashikas of Aramah Meshulchan Aruch. Medvar Morim Betchilas Limuda Shaladim Bekshig. The Agdal B'Torah V'Yifna Es Atzmal Talmud Belvad. That when was it Yishalish Adam? When you're beginning to learn. That's when you have to divide your time between Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara. But once you are an independent learner, then you should be learning Talmud alone. So he says it's not just that the passage of time in the game of telephone, we've lost the ability to know Chaseros and Yeseros. It also has to do with the capacity for learning. So in the earlier generations where they had Rochav Lev and they had a Kabbalah from the Torah about the Shoresh HaTamim, they weren't as engaged in the Machloksim. In other words, as time has passed, first Rabbi Yochanan said something. Then we have the next generation, the students argue exactly what he said. Then the next generation, they argue about what their predecessor said that Rabbi Yochanan said. And then you go all the way to Rabbi Soloveitchik, and now we have the students of Rabbi Soloveitchik argue, what did Rabbi Soloveitchik say? Right, they sat in the same shir. The more passage of time, the less clarity we had, the bigger ability for diversion and for inaccuracy and so on. So as time has gone on and machlokas has increased, it takes more time to learn less subjects. The closer you were to the authentic original source before it could have become distorted or there was a debate exactly what he said, so the less time it took, which meant you had time for what? To count the chaseros, the yeseros, the osios, the psukim. We don't have time for it because it takes us to get just to know what Rabbi Yochanan, the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan disagree with what Rabbi Yochanan said. But if you lived in the generation of Rabbi Yochanan, you didn't have to deal with the machlokas about what he said and the evidence why each side thinks what they think he said is more. You could just knew exactly what he said. You had time to study chaseros, the yeseros. Akenai roi lam lachalik asman shlish b'torosh b'chtav. But now that our intellectual capacity, our capacity to learn, the time it takes to get to truth, because there's so much more machlokas, today, which manuscript of the Ritva is more accurate, which one is correct, So the Machna suggests that the change of curriculum has evolved because the change of the subject evolved. There were more machloksim, there were less clarity, there were the potential distortions. So to arrive at truth, take more effort, leaving less time for Tanakh. And that's why we don't have chaseros v'yeseros, and that's why we don't study osios, and that's why we don't really study... Thank you, Tanakh. Yes?
Is that considered lima haTorah?
Counting the osios? I guess so.
No, is it?
Sure. Tanakh? At some form, yeah. Yeah. Okay. The Machna has a different pshat than Rashi in... the Machna has a different pshat from Rashi in what does it mean? Why do we learn from the pasuk in Mishlei? Emor l'chochma achosi at. You can look at that at your own. Go to page 5. The Marsha has a different pshat. Remember we said the ashpa? What is this ashpa? The same way that the archer draws from the quiver. So the ashpa, a rev should have his ashpa filled with sharp students. Ashpa means garbage. So why are we using that word here? Zok the Marsha, Kechitzen b'yagibor kein b'nei ha'urim, d'ikar achidut v'ashinim b'mei naros. When are you sharpest? When do you have the best memory? When are you sharpest? When you're young. I mentioned this last week, that a few weeks ago I was at a Kinnus Rabbanim with Rav Asher Weiss, and he's giving shir after shir after shir. A whole day we're together, and he quotes no notes in front of him. No da ben Yehuda Tanyana Kuf Yud Aleph Rabbi Kiva Eger Simon. It's just astounding, astounding. But every time he quoted the Minchas Asher, which is his sefer, he said I don't remember if it's in the first volume or the second volume or towards the beginning or towards the end. So he realized we were looking at him puzzled. Why every Rabbi Kiva Eger, every No da ben Yehuda, everything, and his own svarim he doesn't know. So he said, let me explain it to you. It's very simple. He said, the Nadab Yehuda Rabbi Kiv Eger are Girsa Diyankasa. I learned that when I was young. What you learn when you're young is indelibly impressed on you forever. He said, but the Minchas Asher didn't exist when I was young. That's what he said. There was no Minchas Asher when I was young. So I couldn't have learned it. I only learn it now. And so that's why I don't remember it as well. And then he said to us, make sure that you learn while you're young. The more you learn while you're young, the more that it'll last. So that's what the Marsha is saying. Ikr chidud v'shinur b'mei naras. D'linyan shinur medama b'nan urim l'chetz. The students are compared to an arrow. We're talking about not the students, but the Rebbe. Who's the gibor, the student or the Rebbe? So the first explanation of the Gemara, this ashpa, is the quiver. The Rebbe fills his quiver, his beis medrash, with sharp students. Va'od yesh lomar, alternatively, says the Marsha, ashpa mamish. No, it means that the Rebbe's garbage is filled with these students. Ki yesh balabatim amonim es ha-na'ar milumod bebesam. She'omrim she'em emalim besam ba'ashpa. Al-kein omar asher agever asher milei ha-yideim es besam ba'ashma ve'eno menei ha-besam mehem. Some balabatim don't want their kids learning in yeshiva. Don't want their kids learning in kolel. They think it fills their house bashpa. So that's what this notion of ashpa is. Not better for the kids to continue to stay in learning. We're out of time, so just the very last thing. The Gemara had said, even a father and child, even a Rebbe and student, nasa oivim zelazeh, milchamta shel Torah. They're yelling at each other. A person has a chavrusa with their father. One can say, Abba, you're wrong. One can say, Rebbe, I think that that's wrong. So how can that happen? What about kibud av ve'eim? What about kibud rabo, kvod rabo? Halacha is you're not allowed to disagree. Kavod demands that you show deference and respect. So look at the Shulchan Aruch on page 6, the last page. Hilchos kavod rabo v'tam chacham, resh mem beiz, sif gimel. Ezu cholik arabo, kosher kovelo. Let's go back. Aleph, chayev adam b'chvod rabo v'yirasa yosim b'shalaviv. You have to show kavod arav even more than your father. Sorry, Dad. Ovim shu rabo muvah kore oroso b'divrei rabo, but rabo she'en muvah kore oroso abba. But why is it more? The Gemara says, because your father gave you chaye shah, your father gave you life in this world, and your Rebbe gives you chaye olam abba. If you have a father who's also a Rebbe to you, then he gives you both, then you give him the greatest kavod. Kol acholik arabo kecholik al ashchina. If you disagree with your Rebbe, it's like you're disagreeing with God. You pick a fight, it's like picking a fight with Hashem. How could our Gemara have said, if that's true, that Nasa Oivim Zelazeh, Rabbo V'Talmido, Avu B'no, how could it be? So says the Shulchan Aruch, Eza Cholik Arabo, Kol Shekovei Lo Medrash, V'Yoshev V'Dorash, Malamit Shlo Bershus Rabbo, V'Rabbo Kayim Afa Bishu, B'mri V'Acheres. Aval, says the Ramo, Mutar Lachluk Alo Be'Eza Psak, You can't disagree about politics. You can't disagree about a pshat in the pasuk. You can't disagree about something theoretical. But if you think your father or your Rebbe have come to a wrong, inaccurate, inauthentic halachic conclusion, then you're obligated to disagree and to arrive at the truth. You're not allowed to issue a psak if your Rebbe is there. If you do, it's so severe, you chayev misa. So anyway, you see from here that in order to arrive at the truth, you supersede the normal halacha of kavod av and kavod rabo is superseded by the importance of arriving at the truth, which sometimes only happens when there's friction, when a person has the space and the confidence to say, I disagree. If someone doesn't want to hurt the other person's feelings or doesn't want to show them disrespect, then distortions, counterfeit conclusions can reign supreme. All right, we'll stop here. Mitzvah Shem, we'll pick up.